Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And joining me now is the University of Memphis head football coach, Ryan Silverfield on X at R Silverfield. Big week this week, coach. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. The guys have had a tremendous week of practice. They're dialed in. They're focused. More than anything, we're thrilled for another opportunity, especially in front of our great crowd here at home.
Yep, and we'll see if we'll talk about that game here in a moment. But I do want to rewind to last week, 28-7 win over Troy. I guess we'll go ahead and start as we normally do with every win. If you have your grade out there, throw it at me.
Yeah, hey, you want offense, defense, special teams, because the defense played phenomenal. Let's start with them. I mean, I was just so pleased. You know what happened, as you us fans well saw, like the third play, they hit a seam ball for a touchdown in an illegal formation. End game, made the adjustment. They come back out and try the exact same play, and we're able to, you know, get a stop and then able to continue to make the adjustments necessary. I thought the defense, anytime you hold the opponent from crossing the 50-yard line until the last drive, we don't want to allow football games if they can continue to do that. So, like I told Jordan Hankins, I said, you'll be a very popular man if you can keep doing that amongst myself in the building. But, yeah, defense played great. The offense, obviously, the first drive was phenomenal. And then, you know, to me, self-inflicted wounds, Gabe, as I've talked about before, you know, generally we're one of the least penalized teams in college football. And, you know, we had three false starts, which is not like us. A couple holding calls, which, you know, the officials came back and said, hey, probably, you know, may or may not have been called. But that's okay. We just got to continue to put ourselves, in a better body position to make the blocks. But go out there and execute. I was obviously pleased with the punt team, being able to put the football where we wanted to and back in the opponent.
Pinned them a few times.
But, yeah, look, I think you go on the road and get a win. Obviously, I'm still – all I think about, as you well know, the sack fumble for the touchdown for them, disappointing. That's on a number of people, and hopefully we get that corrected. But, look, all in all, you can go get a win on the road by that form and fashion and play that type of defense. It's hard to say anything other than, you know, A-, whatever.
Yep.
You got to be a little bit critical, and I think we all understand there's things to work on, and it starts with us, and we're excited about moving forward in the right direction.
Yeah, so your defense only allows 112 yards of total offense to Troy. And, when you see your defense locked in that particular way and Jordan calling a good game, how much does that change your decision-making as a head coach? Because here's the truth of the matter. I think over the years, Memphis fans have been able to see that you're aggressive on fourth down, especially when you're sort of in that four-down territory, you know, as soon as you approach and get into opponent territory. There in the fourth quarter, thereabouts, your offense, maybe you had a couple of pre-snap penalties, got themselves behind the chains, but you got into a couple of fourth and fours. And ended up punting, fourth and short punts. You're usually aggressive in those situations. How much did the defense's ability to limit Troy go into those particular decisions?
Gabe, you're exactly right. I mean, normally, right, you get to the 50-yard line, and I think, you know, analytics told us to go for it. You know, we've talked about that before on the show, and other coaches we've seen in college football, right, the fourth down go rate is astronomically high, right? It's higher than it's ever been in the history of college football because of analytics and what coaches feel, the opportunities to be aggressive and does the punt, if it gets a touchback, right, then you lose another 20 net yards. All that being said, yes, I felt comfortable with where our defense was. I said, let's see if this team can drive it 90 yards or at 1.99 yards, right? and have great faith in them. So maybe not as aggressive, and that's kind of the decision we made. Yes, that even though it was told, hey, you should probably go for it.
Right.
I felt very comfortable with the way our defense was playing. So a lot of it, right, complementary football, you've heard me talk about that. And that's as we continue to move forward during the season, there's going to be times where we're going to have to be more aggressive. And there's going to be times where, you know, we're going to sit there and say, okay, hey, it's 4th and 3 and the ball's at the 50. Let's just punt this thing and play good defense.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to that analytics department, I think people sort of wonder what that looks like. Do you have somebody with a computer up in the box, going down and telling you, hey, this is the percentage to win if you go for it. This is the percentage to win if you punt it. Like, what does that look like when it comes to those decisions in game?
Absolutely, Gabe. So I think over the last couple of years, there's actually been quite a few articles written on it, whether it's in ESPN or The Athletic, about analytics and how it's playing, especially in college football. And so there's a thing called the book, and I think they said 80% of teams use it. So what happens is it formulates all the things, right? Okay, the kicker's leg strength, right? The opponent's strength of defense. And now if everybody has it, whose advantage is it? I think just having that understanding of what it could look like. So you go into a game, it's all set. The settings are, we have a printed laminated book, and it's a new true book for every game. So if you look on the sideline, there's a young man that's kind of almost always in my hip pocket. And we're going through different situations. Sometimes it's, hey, with a minute 36, you could use the timeout here. And then this is, and now a lot of it, I just say, hey, I don't want to hear it. I've got to focus in on it. But then you'll say, okay, perfect example, opening drive of every football game, it says if it's 4th and 1, the book says go. And so they're very egregious because it's saying, hey, you need to take advantage of every 4th and short because the conversion rate is, 72%. But a lot of it's a feel for the game, what's the weather look like? How's the offensive line playing? How's the defense playing? So those things all get factored in that can't be determined on a Wednesday prior to a Saturday in the third quarter. There are different situations that you kind of have a lot. There's charts. You can let it and use it, and it can paralyze you. Or you can use it as, hey, this makes sense. As maybe a thing to lean on. But you'll never hear me go into a press conference and be like, well, we went for it because analytics told me to, so the logs call them.
Right. Game feel means something in today's day and age. I think that gets lost. Now, in this game, Brady Klose, a sophomore, ends up getting his first touchdown on a one-handed catch. I feel like that's fitting, considering the first time that we really started to know about Brady last year, he was making that unbelievable one-handed catch in-game.
That's exactly right. I think that was his first catch in college career. It was a one-handed catch on the sideline, and then his first touchdown catch happened to make SportsCenter top 10, which is good for him. But, the great thing was it talked about the University of Memphis and the win as a football program. So Brady has done some really solid things, and obviously a phenomenal catch on Saturday to make the highlight reel.
All right, now into this game and this opportunity coming up this weekend versus an SEC opponent, Arkansas Razorbacks. Emotions are high. I know how practice goes. I know how guys' sort of emotions are in weeks like this. This is a big opportunity for them, and they want to show out. And you want to play with emotion, but you also need to play with controlled emotion. How much of a balance is that, and how much of an emphasis as a staff are you putting on that this week for your team?
What I told them on Sunday, it started with, look, this is a phenomenal opportunity. And I set the stage for them, right? Understand an SEC opponent that probably should have beaten Ole Miss on the road. Their quarterback's playing like a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, he's playing lights out, putting up numbers that are
video game numbers, quite frankly.
Yes. I mean, it makes your stomach turn watching him run through Ole Miss, and you're like, oh, boy. But I think what I did was I set the stage. Hey, guys, we have the opportunity to be back at home, national television game, all eyes on you. Just go out there and let's stack great days. And I literally, one day at a time, focus. Because what ends up happening, as you well know, Gabe, if we are so ramped up on a Tuesday and so emotional, and so we're not having the best practice. And that means by Saturday, we've already, it's anticlimactic. So I think what we've done is just say, okay, every day, let's really focus on improving and being dialed in on the task at hand, and then Wednesday, the same deal. And then this morning it's going to be no different. So our guys have done a phenomenal job of keeping their emotions in check. I told them, I said, if I need to give you guys a rah-rah speech before we run out of the locker room, then we've done a poor job recruiting. I've got the wrong type of motivated and disciplined guys. And so I think they know, hey, coach, just tell us what the keys to victory are. Tell us, you know, lead us in the right direction. The coordinators are going to put together a phenomenal game plan so the guys can go out there and execute it. And really, more than anything, I want them playing with confidence. You know, you can watch the film and say, wow, well, every single one of their guys is bigger than us, and every single one of their guys is a higher rated recruit. That's great. Let's go put on the pads and see what we're capable of. And I think our guys, yes, I want them to play with passion. I want them to play with emotion, but I don't want that emotion to play with them, you know, in the series of the game.
All right, now to that quarterback putting up video game numbers, Talen Green. 1,173 yards of offense and 13 touchdowns through three games.
That's through three games.
That's through three games. No secret about his talent. You've seen it all on film. In your experience, though, what's the best plan of attack with a dual threat talent like him? Are you aggressive, bring extra guys, normal? Do you sort of line up in base and then put a spy on him to make sure he can't break the pocket? Or is it just sort of mix your calls and hold on for dear life? Like, what is it, in your experience, what's the best plan of attack with a guy like...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like Talen Green.
Sure. Well, there's a difference between what our experiences look like and then what's the game plan, right? Obviously, Arkansas will be listening to this radio show and taking notes and presenting it to their team. So I think you got to be smart, obviously. You know, and what we've done, we obviously watched the games from last year. So you had some success, watched the teams from this year. And, you know, I think Ole Miss did some stuff in the second half. They were able to put a spy on them. But you know, even with a spy or playing drop eight, you see them still breaking, you know, through and breaking tackles. I mean, Tiger fans are going to sit there and see him out there and be like, wait, is that one of their big tight ends? Or
right.
Is that their first round D end? No. Oh, wait, that's their quarterback. And obviously, an athletic freak that's very, very talented. So a variety of things. I mean, because if you just sit back, I think he picks you apart. And if you go after him, he makes one miss, that's where he's going these long touchdown runs. And so even when teams feel like they've got him corralled, he's just so athletic. The ability to make any throw on the field and strong, it's, you know, there's no one right answer. And so we're going to have to see what we're capable of doing and hopefully slow him down.
Now, everyone seems to discuss when you have a group of six team versus a power four, the size and athleticism on both lines of scrimmage. Right, and that's sort of what they focus on in these matchups. Can the group of six team hang in there with that size and athleticism? What do you see from Arkansas in that realm on both lines of scrimmage?
Yeah, so just to give you an idea, right, one of their starting DNs who leads them with sacks is 6'6", 275, right? Their preseason all-SEC D-tackle 6'5", 323. By the way, their other D tackle is 6'5", 387, and their other D end is 6'4", 278. So,
did you say 387? Did I hear that right?
Yes, sir. Not a 287.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
Yes. Yeah. And we're pushing our guys to, you know, just hydrate and try to get the close to, you know, the whole game here. Like, hey, Gabe, I need you to weigh over 290 for this game.
Yeah, right.
So they are massive up front on their defensive line. I mean, it's just, and as you expect, that's Arkansas. They've always been great in the trenches. That's kind of what they've been known for. And then, you know, they always talk about the hogs up front on their offensive line. and you just look at it. I mean, they got some guys that are just massive, right? That have played a lot of football. And then, oh, by the way, their quarterback, like I said, is 6'6", 235. So they got a 230-pound running back. It's just they're built differently. But like I said, it's got to come back to us trying to play harder and trying to execute a game plan that we can go out there regardless of the size and their speed and find a way to out-execute them.
Now, I'm aware. I know it's an important game because it's the next game. This is the type of game in the non-con, whether you win, whether you lose, you still have all the goals that you set out in mind with on the table. But so far offensively, you guys have been a strong running team. Passing offense has been very efficient. And I thought you guys actually hit some good shots downfield last game, but it's been more efficient than explosive, I think, to this point in the season. But your bread has been buttered on the ground. Looking at this week offensively, is there any different points of emphasis when you're playing a team like you just sort of mentioned, with their size up front, with their ability up front? Is there any different points of emphasis against a team like Arkansas offensively?
Yeah, we've got to be smart. I mean, I think if we sit there and say, okay, we're just going to line up and run it right down the throat, I think we're gonna have some issues. I mean, they're just, you know, regardless of what it is. And schematically, right? You know, some wrinkles with different things we can do. Like I said, again, they're listening to this, so we're not going to give away the game plan.
Yep.
No, but I do think, right, like if we've been efficient, we trust our run game and our inside zones had success. Well, guess what? That's what we're going to have to continue to do, because I think you just got to trust it. Trust that we can hit the angles and, you know, the running backs have done a nice job of trusting where it's going to hit and doing those things. And then last week, right, you mentioned the vertical passing game. Well, they were able to give us some of that, which we hadn't seen in the previous games. And sometimes, you know, the more teams allow you to pass the ball down the field, then it opens up some run game. You know, so it all works hand in hand. But more than anything, Gabe, we can't go out there and beat ourselves. They're too talented of a team. If we go out there and have a false start, if we go out there and have a holding call and get behind the chains, they're too talented of a team to allow ourselves to call back.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, final thing I wanted to just run by you, and it's not lost on me this week. It's something I was paying attention to. It's a matchup between former offensive line coaches turned head coaches, you and Sam.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, it's honestly not thought of enough. But I think looking around the country, offensive line coaches have popped up all around as head coaches. You have you two. You have Mario Cristobal at Miami. You have Matt Campbell at Iowa State. You have Brent Key getting the big upset last week against Clemson at Georgia Tech. I just wanted to point that out. The O-line coach to head coach pipeline seems pretty strong as it's ever been, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a lot more, you know, people always say, well, Andy Reid's a quarterback guy. Well, Andy Reid was an O-line guy, you know, and so obviously, the Chiefs aren't off to the start they want, but everybody could argue that Andy Reid's probably the best coach in the NFL right now. But yes, I agree. And you and I have both talked about this in the past, Gabe. I think, right, like 20 guys in that room, you've got to learn to be smart. You got to learn to be tough. You got to learn to play together. Well, isn't that exactly what you want a head coach to be able to do for the entirety of the roster? And so it works well. Obviously, I've coached every position in college football. But yeah, you're exactly right. Two O-line guys going at it. Tremendous respect for him and what he's built at Arkansas and the type of talent they have. But they're gonna get everything we got on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll let you get back to it. It's a big week. Appreciate it, Coach.
I appreciate it. Hey, we need all the Tiger fans to show up. Let's sell this thing out. Wear your blue. It's gonna be a fantastic atmosphere. Cheer loud and proud for your Tigers. Appreciate it, Gabe.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, Coach. He is Ryan Silverfield, head football coach over at the University of Memphis on X at R Silverfield.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.